Again, it's Tuesday, October the 30th, and we are doing a study in 2 Timothy, and we've gotten as far as chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, and so we'll be doing that today. We'll be staying looking at a few more verses there and kind of deviating from our path on the book of Acts, and then maybe after we get through this, the third chapter of 2 Timothy, then we will go ahead and probably go back to Acts a little bit more. But I just want to reaffirm why we're going through the book of Acts and why we're looking at the Apostle Paul and the examples of things that he did in his life that can be a positive for each and every one of us. So, Heavenly God and Father, we do come into presence to do ask that you would continue to guide, direct, and each one of our lives. Would ask that you would give us the understanding that you would have us to have so we might be able to understand your truth and that we might think and act more like you. It's our heart's desire that we would be imitators of Christ and imitators of Paul, that we would continue to try to express truth for today and try and live in a godly manner that would be pleasing unto you. Would ask that, ask your blessing for each one that's come our way tonight. Would ask that you would help them in their understanding, that they might be able to apply those lessons from your word that might be profitable for them. For we ask it all in our Savior's name, the Lord Christ Jesus, and for his sake. Amen. So, let's go to 2 Timothy and chapter, I'm trusting Tony's posting tonight, but I don't have that open right now. I'm just, I probably need to at least open up maybe one screen in Pal Talk, and just so people could see I'm still alive there. And he goes in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we had gotten down to, and we've repeated this for several times, but hopefully it'll help us get focused again. For Paul says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, and my patience, my persecutions, my afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. All persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that well live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So what I've stated, by going through the book of Acts, we have been following Paul's travels and his hardships, and they to give us a reason to follow in his footsteps. So the next passage I want to look at is in Philippians chapter 3, and we want to read verses 8 to 21. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 8 to 21. It starts out by saying, we are to start in verse 7. He says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." And what he's actually referring to, the things that he lost, were the things that he mentioned in those verses just prior to this, and they were all religious things, things that at one time he counted very, very important, things that he counted as having great value. But once he started to walk in the truth and understood what he was and what he was in Christ, all those things that he had done in the flesh that were so important now fall into the background. And he even though he talks about them and even brags about them to some degree, he is saying to us as members of his body that these things are no longer important to him, and the religious things shouldn't be important to us either. They are in the past. We are complete in Christ. All things are done by him. for us, because we are in Him, then we are righteous and we are perfect in Him. So he says in verse 9, and to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, in the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And it's the dead ones. In other words, we will be raised out from among the dead ones. And there will be some still left, because not everyone has this hope and calling that you and I enjoy. And so there'll be some that will not be raised at that resurrection, but will be raised at a later one. So then he goes on to say that if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained. In other words, we need to go through a change, or we need new bodies. And until that happens, we're not going to be resurrected. In other words, we need a body. It takes a body and a spirit, and the spirit, to make us alive. We are going to be alive and with Him in the heavenly places. When He appears, we will appear with Him. So he says, but I follow after that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, He's been bought by a price. We've been bought by a price. And we want to be found worthy of the price that the Lord had to pay for us, which in Himself He gave His life for us. We're not asked to give our life for Him to the same degree that He died, but rather we are asked to live for Him. That's what the Lord would have us to do. That's the payment that we can make, or the repayment that we can make for all that He's done for us. And he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Or we need to be like-minded, or in total agreement with Paul when it comes to this. But he also adds, and if anything be you otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And so there were that never did receive the message, the gospel that Paul had, but he was comforted in knowing that the Lord was going to deal with those people that were otherwise minded. And that gave him great comfort. He goes on to say, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an example. So that to me, that verse is reason enough for us to go through the book of Acts and to learn more and more about Paul. And what he went through, how he conducted himself, how he lived, how he traveled, and how he spread the gospel, and he just seemed to be somebody who was 100% dedicated to living a life that would be pleasing unto the Lord. We do know the Apostle Paul was one of those saints that the Lord spoke to directly and gave him the many messages that he had, that he spoke, and that he shared. And so that makes him unique. We need to follow the scriptures. We need to follow the guidance that we get from God's word in order for us to be listening to the Lord. I know he can talk to our spirits, to our human spirit, maybe not audibly, but we get under conviction, and we deal with issues And we know when the Lord is dealing with us that it truly is Him that is trying to direct us or trying to get us to change our path. He says, for many of whom I told you often and now tell you even weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And it, you know, we live on the earth. It's hard to ignore the world completely. And we need to be involved with the world to some degree. It's just that we need to remind ourselves from time to time this isn't our home. He says in verse 20, for our citizenship or conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And so that's important that we realize that we recognize that. A few times that I've given eulogies, I remind others that we are the person who has passed is not in heaven now, but rather they are awaiting a resurrection. And I emphasize the resurrection. And I think this is talking about going through the change of our vile body, or this body that's of the flesh. It's made of the chemicals of the earth. And we need new bodies that will be fashioned for similar to his glorious body and suited for the heavenly places far above all where we will be going. So Paul was very proud of his religious accomplishments, but now counts them all as waste or dung. And in verse 17, as we've already stated, he says for us to be followers together of him, or me, he says. Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we want to read verses 11 to 21. And Paul says, he's talking to Timothy, but I think as you and I think of ourselves, we ought to think of ourselves similar to Timothy. He says, but thou, O man of God, and by the way, this is not necessarily a male thing. It's a it's mankind. And when he says, but thou, O man of God, and then he tells him the things that he should flee. And it was the things that he had just read about earlier that we're not taking the time to look at all those things that are negative. But he's saying to flee all those things. If you read, you know, verses 1 to 6, you see what those things are, or 1 to 5, the things that are kind of what we consider to be against us. And then he also mentions in verse 7 that the love of money, and it says it's the root of all evil, but it's the root of all kinds of evil in verse 10. So then verse 11, he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. If you think about it, these are all the attributes that God has. And these are the attributes that the Apostle Paul had, that he put into practice in his dealing with others and with teaching the scriptures to others. And he goes on in verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Again, he's saying this to Timothy, but I think he could be saying this to you and I also, by application. He says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, or makes alive all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. And thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in times past he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality, That's important that we see that. If others seem to think when you die that you are immortal, in reality you don't really receive immortality until you receive your new body. So they actually are not teaching the truth if they suggest that and it's, you know, only Christ has it. So no one else, there's no one else, no other human beings that have immortality as yet. We have the promise of it. We have the assurance of it. But we don't have it yet. We're still all dying in these bodies that we're in. He says, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So when we're talking about God Almighty, He is light. And you can't see Him, and His brilliance is so bright that it would blind you if you did. And then there's another passage, I don't exactly remember where it is, where it says, no man has seen God at any time and lived. And so we know the Apostle Paul, Moses, he was hidden in the cleft of the rock, and only his backside, he didn't visually see Him with his eyes, but the effect was on his countenance had changed as a direct result of that. So then he says in verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. In other words, religious things, speaking in tongues, or making arguments just because they keep repeating the same things over and over again, it doesn't make it the truth. He says, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. And then he closes by saying, grace be with thee. Amen. And again, I think we can apply these things in Timothy, in 1 Timothy, to us as truth for today. Now let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy in chapter 2. And we want to look at, begin reading there in verse 16. And we'll be reading down to 26. He says, I probably should read 2:15. I apologize. Study thy, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we're going to be supporters of truth for today, we certainly need to be rightly dividing the word of truth. And the approval is not so much from one another. The approval really is coming from God Himself. He's the judge who can judge us appropriately. And it says that we should be workmen. And so, He doesn't have workmen that are children. He has workmen who are adults. And it says that we need not be ashamed if we do that. And he goes on to say in 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doeth a canker. And typically, I think the word canker could be considered to be cancer. It says of whom as Hymenaeus and Philetus. So these are a couple people that Paul knew that I think at one time, I think they were, that he looked to them as worthy to fellowship with. And I think, fortunately, because of their, some of their the things that began to teach that was against Paul, he said that they can cause a cancer, can cause a problem in the group. Then he goes on to say in 19, well, this is where they erred. He says in verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and as a result, they've overthrown the faith of some. So he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God's name is sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. And the examples that I thought of is like the flatware, the gold and silverware that was used on the master's table. Those things were always cleaned and polished and were very thought of very highly because of the worth. But there was also things like trash cans and things that were necessary that you might hide them behind a door somewhere just because you don't really want to see them. But the fact of it is, they're necessary. And so that's a way I think our service to the Lord can be. Sometimes it can be up front and we can be seen. Other times it's what we're doing behind the scenes that has some value also. But he also says there's some to honor and there's also some to dishonor. And I think it's just because of the service that they provide. Verse 21 says, if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or qualified for the master's use, and prepared and do every good work. He says this to Timothy, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, and apt to teach, and be patient. Some of these attributes, it seems like they're hard to cultivate, but I believe the Spirit that works in us can help us with this, and to help us to be more apt to teach or able to teach, and to be more patient or not be as quick-tempered or short, which we know sometimes grieves the Holy Spirit. He says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by his will. Then I want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to go ahead and conclude our lesson tonight, mainly because I got started late because of pal talk again being difficult for me to get to work. He says in verse 12, 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, that all will live godly so suffer persecution, which I've already read. But he says, but evil men and seducers so wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. In Timothy's case, it says he was taught from a child, and he has fully known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I know that people get saved at different ages. For me, it was 28 and a half. So I know that some familiarity with the Scriptures, but I really didn't understand them until after I got saved there when I was 28. So I can't say that I knew the Scriptures from a child, but I certainly knew the Scriptures from the time after I got saved and the Lord started opening up His Word to me. He goes on to say in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And by the way, the Word is complete now, so there's no other Word coming from God. His Bible, His Scriptures, His Holy Scriptures are complete. He says that these Scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so we can use all Scripture. The only thing we need to do is make sure that we realize that by application, we can learn from some of the saints in the Old Testament, and that some of the things that they were asked to do, and some of the sufferings that they endured, some of the deaths that were caused by their direct disobedience, are certainly things that we can learn from. But we're not under the same set of rules. We're not under the same dispensation that they were. So as a result, we can learn from those things, but we shouldn't expect the Lord to be dealing with us in the same manner in which he dealt with them. And he says in verse 17 that the man of God, or the person of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. So if we are familiar with the Apostle Paul and with his good works and how he functioned, I think that it helps us to be able to be more Christ-like as he followed after Christ, and we should also. So with that, let me close. Apologize again for the not being able to get on and getting late start, and so I'm gonna stop now. So our Heavenly God and Father, we do come into your presence. We do thank you, Lord, for your word. We trust the instructions that were given to Timothy can be applied to us, that even though we're not the same with him in every example, we know that as believers in Jesus Christ, that we are similar in a way when it comes to faith, when it comes to understanding, and when it comes to our walk before you. Would ask that you'd bless each one that's come our way tonight. Would ask that you would continue to keep us, guard us, protect us. Would ask that you'd help us to live more like you, to think more like you, and to act more like you do. We ask it all in our Savior's name, the Lord Christ Jesus, and we ask it for his sake. Amen.